Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 4. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4. We're going to still be in our study of the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. I'm not preaching a Christmas message today. I did Wednesday night, really, out of Philippians chapter number 2. He humbled himself, became a man. Amen. Made himself in the likeness of man. And that is what the story of Christmas is all about God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Amen. But I do appreciate that song we just sang. He is the one we come to worship and adore. Amen. It is a blessing to gather in and see one another and maybe to get to see some family members and things such as that. But Jesus is the one that's to receive the glory and the honor. Amen. And we need not forget that and make sure we give Him the praise that's due His name.
Amen.
Amen. My dad sends out a text on Sunday mornings to most of his family. That's one of his ways of being a witness to some of them, but also a statement to each of us. And in that statement today, it was about the wise men that came saying, where is He that's born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. And he said, let's worship and adore Him. Amen. And I put that in the bulletin this morning, matter of fact, about that those same verses. I had that on my heart. That's why we're here, to worship and adore Him. Amen. And I think that's what it ought to be about. I could say a lot of things about people gather, some of them either even in church. They gather to brag on the singer, or they gather to brag on what somebody had on, or they gather to, you know, to do something like that, when the point of gathering is to worship and adore Him. Amen. Amen. By the way, we had a good time Sunday in our Christmas dinner, and I thank you, all of you, all the gifts that were given. Amen. And even since then, things that have been given, we're grateful, my wife and I both, and appreciate your generosity to us. I also appreciate the opportunity yesterday of going to the nursing homes and singing for those folks. Amen. That was a blessing. And I hope that it was an encouragement to them. That one nursing home will go in almost every time we start, the alarms start going off. And this time wasn't any different. Amen. But that's okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 4. And begin reading in verse number 1. Read down through verse number 11. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're so thankful, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Help, Lord. Please help.
I pray that You'll bless and help Your people this morning. I ask You, Lord, that You would speak it away from our hearts and draw us closer and then help us to open our hearts to instruction and help us, Lord, to learn to
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. We've been studying now for some time this temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Been looking at the first attack. We've dealt a few sermons on that first attack that we find primarily in verse number 3. I mentioned to you, I want to say it again, that I don't believe that there were just these three, if you want to say three punches that were thrown by the devil. I believe that Christ was tempted for the entire 40 days and 40 nights that he was in the wilderness. Matter of fact, Mark makes that statement that he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And so there were, I believe, numerous temptations that came to our Lord. But I personally believe that there's a good reason to believe, logic behind the fact that the devil may have sent out many different attacks from many different areas over that 40-day span. And then when Christ was not taken down, maybe he might have thought he was weakened, but he was not taken down. Then the devil himself shows up on that 40th day to personally add his attack, to personally make things even harder and make the battle even hotter if he can. And so he offers these three attacks to the devil, to the Lord from the devil. Let me say, first of all, too, that the devil is an opportunist. He'll use what he can to his advantage. He is an opportunist. If he sees you're hungry, as he saw the Lord is, he'll use that if he can. Amen. If he can see you're lonely, as our Lord was, he'll use that if he can. He'll take whatever opportunity that arises. Our Lord had just come from a great blessing of being baptized and hearing the voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the devil sometimes will come on the heels of a great victory. You just encountered a great blessing. The devil will use that as an opportunity, if he can, to pull you down. Amen. Sometimes, as our Lord was not only just coming from a great victory, but our Lord's entering into a great ministry. You know, and I know that the baptism of our Lord was really the beginning of his public ministry. I thought of this just this morning, or just this week, that what we're going to look at this morning, verse number 4, is the answer that our Lord gave to the devil. If this is the first sermon that he preached after his public ministry is to begin publicly, he preached to the devil. Amen. If you feel like I'm preaching to you, if you're the devil, I am. Amen. 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 Look at what he says in verse number 4. "But he answered," these are the words of our Lord, "but he," our Lord, "answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We've noticed that verse number 3, the devil comes out with what I call his big if. If thou be the Son of God, prove it. More or less that's what he's saying. If you're who you say you are, if you're who the voice said you are, prove it by making these stones become bread. I mentioned to you that I believe the devil's grand strategy was to try to get Christ to doubt God's word as he just heard the word, and to doubt God's love. And that is his attack on you and I as well. Amen. That's the attack that he used with Eve in the garden, and he still uses it to this day. To say to you, you can't really believe that Bible, can you? They'll mock and pick and ridicule and say, surely you don't really believe that. Do you really believe that everything was created in 6 literal days? That's one statement they'll say. Well, do you really believe that it took God millions of years? Which would be harder to believe. Amen. Amen. Do you really believe that God's a liar? I don't. I believe God tells the truth. When God says the evening and the morning was the first day, I believe that's a 24-hour period of days. You say, well, he couldn't know. I mean, how could anybody know when a day took place? The sun hadn't been created on the first day. God wasn't counting when the sun came up and the sun went down. He didn't have to see. By the way, the sun don't come up and go down like we, that's how we imagine it. The earth spins, and when the earth spins on its axis, one 24-hour period is what it takes that earth to spin. God could see it because He's up above, and He made the earth. He knew when it spun around one time. And He could say the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. I really believe the Bible is literal in what it says. Amen. And there are some things in the Scripture that are meant to be taken not in a literal sense, but I believe it's obvious when those things are taken in that establishment. But we can believe when God said it was, it was. Amen. God said, let there be light. And there wasn't any argument about it. There just was light. Amen. And when God said that's the way it was, that's the way that it was. But the devil's looking at this opportunity. He sees our Lord, and Jesus was hungry. That's what the Bible plainly says. He was afterward and hungered. He got hungry after going 40 days without any eating anything. He was hungry, but he was not willing to obey the devil. He was not willing to bow to the will of Satan. Amen. Now, you think about how much the devil would have bragged and would have boasted. The devil's a boaster, by the way. The devil is proud. That's what partly that caused his fall. Amen. Was the pride that was found in Lucifer. Amen. And that pride caused him. You think how much he would have boasted if he had convinced our Lord to perform a miracle at his whim. He would have said, you know, I've got him on a chain. I've got him at my command. He'll do what I want him to do. That's what the devil would have said if Jesus had just simply obeyed him. I'm glad he didn't obey him. Amen. Amen. I want to think today on the thought of Christ's answer to the first attack in the temptation. Christ's answer to the first attack in the temptation. Our Lord refused to obey the devil. He could have turned stones into bread. He could have. But he didn't need to do that to obey the devil. He came not to obey the devil, but to obey God. Amen? We've looked at how deceptive that the devil is in using his bait. He is very good at how that he doctors it up. I've got a quote Matthew Poole said about the devil, how that he hides the horror and he hides the hell. He hides the sorrow and he hides the sadness. He hides the defamation and he hides the damnation. Amen. He hides all those things and puts it out as if it's some great and good thing. Amen. I don't know if you heard the Penny Round Perspectives Thursday and Saturday. Joshua interviewed the Richard Nelson that's talking about the big casino they're trying to put down in Oak Grove. They're willing to spend $150 million to build a casino down there. They're not expecting to give away millions. They're expecting to rake in millions. But he made this comparison. Joshua said, if 1,000 people a day went in McDonald's and only 3 of them came out with a meal, people would quit going to McDonald's. But at the casino, thousands come in and very few come out with anything of value. Amen. The devil has a good way of marketing. He is a marketing genius. He is an advertising expert. Amen. He knows how to paint the pictures, but I'm glad our Lord Jesus could see through it. And he wants us to be able to see through it. I believe that's one of the reasons he went through this. One of the reasons he had it recorded is that you and I can see how that you and I can come out on the other side like he came out by leaning on the Word of God. Amen. And by trusting to the Word of God. But we don't have to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We can see how that he works as our Lord did in these cases. And we've talked quite a bit about the devil in that first attack. I want to move away from that and think about our Lord and His answer. First of all, I've got 2 things I want to point out this morning, and then we may come back and look at this again in another sermon. But let me say, first of all, look at Christ's answer to the temptation. But He answered and said, it is written. Amen. He didn't say, well, this is what I think. Well, my opinion is, Well, our preacher says. Well, our church believes. Now, he said, I'm standing on this book. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Here's what this just jumped out at me this week in my thoughts. And I didn't put it in my notes, but in my thoughts, I thought about how the devil was saying, so you claim to be the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, you're the descendant of God. You are God in the flesh. That's your claim. He said, prove to me that you're God. Jesus said, I'll prove to you that I'm man. Because the verse he said, he doesn't say, God shall not live by bread alone. He picked a verse about man. Because Jesus was not fighting him in the power of God. He was fighting him with the Word of God, which any man can use. Amen. Amen. And so he's saying man has what he needs to survive. Man has the Word of God. And that's more important even than his natural food. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Christ's answer is that human hunger is not nearly as important as believing and obeying the Word of God. Amen. Not just, maybe you have physical needs. We do at times. He says, but the most important thing is not the physical. The most important thing is the spiritual. And that you have obeyed the Word of God. That you believe the words of God and you obey the words of God. In his answer, I believe it's obvious that Christ recognized the devil's thrust of doubt. That it was a fiery dart of doubt. You know the only thing that can quench the fiery darts of doubt? A shield of faith. Amen. And so the Lord held up that shield of faith. What's faith based on? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. He's standing on the Word of God. He's got his shield of the Word of God. And that faith in the Word of God can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We'll say more about that in a moment when we look at the second thought. But our Lord answered him by refusing the cleverly disguised craft of the devil when he said, you ought to doubt that God really loves you. You ought to doubt that God's Word is true. Jesus stood forth on the Word of God. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter number 7. And I've tied these verses together in other messages. But I want to tie it together with you this morning. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 is teaching on the importance of prayer. He starts off in verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I'm going to stop just a minute right there and say this. I'm going to read more in a moment. But prayer is an exercise of faith. If you don't believe God, no need to ask Him. Amen. You're wasting your time and His as well if you don't believe Him. He said, a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. If you don't believe God, you don't need to bother asking Him. But if you do believe God, you can have faith to ask Him. Amen. Come to God with your desires. All right, look at verse number 9 now. He said, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Amen. I underline that verse. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Jesus was the Son of God. He could have asked his Father for bread, but since he looked around and saw there was no bread there, it was only stones there, he knew his Father would give him what he needed. God wasn't playing games. God wasn't making a fool of those that ask. Amen. And so I believe our Lord simply saying this, if I needed bread, my Father would give me bread. Since all I've got stones, He must know that's all I need at the moment. Amen. And God would give him the ability to make it. He'd made it 40 days. Amen. He could make it another day. By the way, what the devil says, you've lived all your life without this, but you can't live another minute without it. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. And he'll just push and push with that. But our Lord said, I don't have to have it. Amen. Amen. He knew that he did not yet need bread, or else his Father would have given him bread in answer to prayer. So Christ decided to trust the Father rather than trust the deceiver. Amen. Amen. Now you think about this. Who are you going to believe? You going to believe God, or are you going to believe the devil? Many times, and I know they make jokes about it, and there's all kinds of things about a good angel and a bad angel. You've got good advice and bad advice, and it's like, you know, you've got these two. But it is true that many times in life, when God starts speaking to people, the devil does too. I remember when the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about getting saved, the devil was talking to me too. Amen. God was saying move, and the devil saying don't move. God was saying trust, and the devil saying don't trust. God was saying I love you, and the devil saying no, he don't. Amen. Amen. Who are you going to believe? Somebody that's never told a lie, or somebody that's never told the truth? Amen. I'm not talking about not running Trump against Hillary again. I'm not talking about that. Because I don't know which one you'd say was which one of them, to be honest with you. Neither one of them ever told the truth, I don't guess, to be honest about it. But the thing is, if we're not careful, we'll believe the devil. Oh, he's telling the truth this time. No, he ain't. He never has told the truth. Even when he has the skin of the truth, it's stuffed with a lie. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus chose to believe the Father even if it meant his death. Even if he starved to death, he'd starve to death trusting the Father. If he never saw bread, if he only saw stones the rest of his life, he was willing to trust the Father. Job said it this way in Job 13:15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Amen. It's almost as if the Lord was saying this, though he slay me, he might have said, though he starve me, yet will I trust him. By the way, he knew that trusting the Father and obeying the Father to the end would be the death of him. But he is willing to obey the Father. He became obedient unto death.
That's right.
Even the death of the cross. Amen. Back in Philippians chapter number 2. Christ did not deny that he was hungry. Amen. He didn't say, well I'm not hungry. You've had people do that. You ever had somebody offer you something and out of graciousness you didn't want to take what they had and you said, oh, I'm not hungry, when in reality you was hungry? Amen. You've been there. I have. Amen. No, I'm not hungry. No, you're trying to be nice. Our Lord didn't deny the fact that he was hungry because he wouldn't lie. Amen. There are some people that say, don't acknowledge it, deny it. Oh, you're not sick. You're just blowing your nose for the fun of it. Just deny it. Don't claim it. You know, don't claim it. Just deny it. But that's lying is what that is. Now, I'm not saying you got to walk around, oh, I'm sick all the time. My wife's grandmother, she, anything anybody ever had, she had it too. She had it worse. And Grace, one time we was up there, and I don't remember, somebody had bronchitis. She said, I think I've got it too in my head. I said, if you've got it anywhere, that's where it's at. Amen. It's not that you have to walk around thinking, oh, it's bad, 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 but it don't help to deny reality.
Right.
Our Lord didn't deny reality. He didn't say, I'm not hungry, but he did say, I'm going to trust my Father in spite of my hunger. I'm not going to give in to the devil in spite of my hunger. Amen. Amen. He decided to wait on God to supply the need in his own good time. By the way, let me say this too about prayer. I said you got to have faith if you're going to pray. That faith will help you with patience to wait on God. If you really believe, amen, you'll wait on God. Amen. You ever seen somebody that was waiting on some, they was waiting for somebody to come pick them up, and you say, come on, I'll give you a ride. No, they said they're coming. And they believe them. And so they're willing to wait because they believe that. When we have a need from God and we go to God with our need, you can believe God. And if it means waiting, you can wait on God because He said He'd do it. Amen. You can believe Him. Amen. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the answer Christ gave to the first recorded attack of Satan in the temptation. Now, mark well what our Lord said when He said, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Man must live by every word. Man is fed by every word. And I know we can use that to talk about every... That's why we believe the King James Bible, every word and all that. I understand that. But here's what He's saying. The devil will tell you, you can believe some of it.
Right.
Our Lord didn't say man lives by any word. He said he's got to believe every word. Amen. If man's going to survive this world, man's going to survive the attacks of the devil, man's going to have the nourishment his spiritual man needs, he's got to believe every word of that Bible. Amen. And so he can't shove any part of the Word of God, or else he's given place to the devil. If you give him just a little room, don't let him argue one point of the Scripture. You believe all the Scripture. Jesus gave the devil no room in his argument. He said, I'm going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Each and every temptation that the devil sent towards our Lord was thwarted with these words, it is written. In each case, Jesus replied with the Word of God. Amen. This particular verse is from the book of Deuteronomy. Matter of fact, every one of these three that our Lord quoted is from the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. And I appreciate that. Amen. Since the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, Jesus was fighting with the Word of God. You ever heard somebody say, them's fighting words? Well, these are. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is fighting. By the way, you don't believe they're fighting words? You can quote the Quran all day long. Nobody won't get upset. Amen. You can quote some of these perversions all day long. But you start quoting the King James Bible and watch how people squirm. Amen. Why? Them's fighting words. They're cutting words. Amen. Amen. They're cutting words. It's not only the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. By being the sword of the Spirit, it is the only offensive weapon that we have. It's what we attack the devil with. I can't attack him with my words. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't mean much to the devil. He laughs about that. Amen. But when you say, thus saith the Word of God, it is written, it gets his attention. That's a sword that is cutting through him. Amen. Amen. It's seen as the only offensive weapon in our spiritual armory of the saints. Amen. That is what the Lord used against the devil. Also, it is the shield of faith. I talked about that faith and it coming from the Word of God. That shield of faith is the only offensive weapon. I realize we're wearing armor. I understand that. But that offensive weapon that is available as well to the saint. Amen. I read where one man said this. I believe it was Fuller that said this back in the 1600s. He said that a lot of the shields that they made in those days would have a pike coming out of the shield. Just a spike in the center of the shield. And that way that shield was offensive and defensive. If you get too close with it, they'd shove you with it. And it didn't just block you off, it impaled you when it came. I'm telling you, the shield of faith that our God has given us is a weapon as well as it's offensive and defensive as well. Amen. In other words, it'll work all the way around. Amen. The devil's afraid to get too close to somebody that really believes God. Amen. Well, it's a shield of faith according to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. And we'll look at those in a moment. Christ used these weapons. They're the same weapons that are available to you and I. I say it again because I think it's so important. Christ did not use divine power to defeat the devil in this temptation. He used, it is divine power, and it is God's word, and it is faith in God. But what he used was the same thing that you and I can use. Amen. It was not some supernatural, miraculous power that you and I don't have, but he used what we do have. Amen. Now, I'm going back to talk about where these words are found. He used, it is written three times, three punches that the devil threw, if you want to use it that way, that are recorded here, three different attacks, three fronts of attack, and the Lord used three different verses, all three of them from the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Interesting to me that that's Old Testament scripture. Christ was living in a New Testament age. What the devil will say, the devil will say it, and a lot of teachers in school and some preachers in the pulpit say, you can't use them Old Testament verses, we're in a New Testament age. The devil didn't know that. It worked against the devil in Christ's day, and apparently Christ didn't believe that because it worked against the devil in Christ's day. Amen. Amen. You've heard me say it before, and I like to remind people. They say, I don't like them Old Testament verses. That's another dispensation. We forget about the Old Testament. But then they want you to read the 23rd Psalm at their funeral. As if that wasn't Old Testament scripture. Amen. I could say a lot of things about that, but it was Old Testament scripture that did work in a New Testament age. Amen. Our Lord Jesus used it, and you and I can use it for the glory of God. Amen. But something else I noticed about that text is that God gave Moses five books. We call it the Pentateuch. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The law primarily are the four books. Actually, Exodus, he's got the law given to him on the mount. Then you got Numbers, deals some with the law, but counting the people. Leviticus, the Levitical law. Deuteronomy, the repeating of the law. But here's what I find real interesting. That Jesus didn't use Exodus, Sinai, where the law first came down. He didn't use Numbers and all that was applying to just the nation of Israel. He didn't use Leviticus, that applies primarily to the Levitical, the religious doings of the law, the ceremony of the law. He used Deuteronomy, which is to man without ceremony, without even the dietary restrictions that are in there. You know what he's saying? Pomp and ceremony don't always affect the devil. Pomp and ceremony, ritual and all that don't always offend the devil. But you say what God said, and you stand on what God said, and that'll defeat the devil every time. Amen. By the way, in a New Testament age, the ritual and the ceremony are gone. But we still have the Word of God. Amen. We still have the Word of God, and we can stand on that Word. And Christ was showing us that, I believe, even in this same day. Amen. Amen. These weapons that our Lord has are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. They will work even in our day. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I want to read you the quote that our Lord quoted because it's interesting to me. Christ didn't quote the whole verse. He didn't quote the whole verse. He just quoted a portion of the verse. Now, he wasn't taking it out of context. Amen. It would be impossible for him to take it out of context. He is the context. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 is the verse. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 3. He says, and he... By the way, let me back up and say this. Moses is reminding Israel. And Joshua's using this. By the way, they're going in the promised land. And so Joshua's involved in this. They're reminding Israel what God had done in the past. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That's where our Lord was. He was being humbled and he was suffering hunger. And fed thee with manna. God dropped bread right out of heaven. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now there's a whole lot right there that's real interesting to me. I want to point out one just a sideline. Notice that in our text, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, the word, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word. That word word is in italics. That means it wasn't in the original. That means that the King James translators, in their honesty, let you know that they pulled that from somewhere else and put it in there to help you understand it. Well, if it wasn't in there, we couldn't understand it. Man should not live by bread only, but by every that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. But by every what? Every word. But here's what's interesting. It's not in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 3, but it's in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Jesus quoting it, and he picked the same word that the King James Bible translators picked, Brother Steve. Amen. He picked the same word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. I know that's a different word than only, but it's the same connotation. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's interested in the words. Now, here's where I'm going with this. This, our Lord reading this verse, and he didn't read the whole verse. He just quoted a portion of the verse. Because you don't have to have verses and chapters to defeat the devil. Sometimes just a word from God is enough to defeat the devil. Amen. But he only quoted the last part of the verse. Certainly our Lord knew the whole verse. Matter of fact, the devil no doubt knew the whole verse. But Jesus only chose a portion of it. Amen. I want you to think about the context of it. Notice that this verse is contextually speaking about Israel. God's dealing with Israel as with a son. That's what he said. God dealt with you as with sons. And he humbled thee and let you hunger. You see that? That's how God does treat his son. The devil said, if you're the son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus said, didn't you hear how God treated his son Israel? He brought them through the wilderness and let them hunger. And then God dropped them bread out of heaven. Amen. And so our Lord's using that connotation contextually upon the devil. Amen. That God provided for them in a way they didn't understand. God provided them in a way they had no way of realizing how he's going to do it, and yet he did. Amen. When he led them through the wilderness, I wonder if it could have been some of this same wilderness that our Lord's been in for these 40 days. God took care of Israel not just for 40 days in that wilderness. He took care of Israel for 40 years in that wilderness. Amen. Now, I want you to notice three very important things about this verse and our Lord's usage of it there. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. Notice that God had brought Israel to this very place for the purpose of humbling them. The devil saying to the Lord, if you're really the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I've touched on it already that a command is not a humble way of asking for something. Right. A humble man would ask, and our Lord said, ask, pray. Ask for your daily bread. Pray for your daily bread. The devil didn't say ask about it. He didn't say pray about it. He said command it. He's trying to get him away from humility and get him to pride. But our Lord's going back. God brought me here for a reason to humble me. Amen. He's learning obedience. That's what the book of Hebrews talks about. Him learning obedience. And I don't understand all that, but I'm just telling you that's what the Bible said. But I believe Christ was attempting to show the devil or implying to the devil that he might recognize, he does recognize, the devil's trying to pull him away from that humility. God's trying to lead him towards more humility. Amen. He recognized it. Secondly, notice that God allowed Israel to hunger, and yet he had miraculously provided bread for them when they needed it. Christ is no doubt saying here to the devil, if I need bread, my Father can drop it out of heaven if he wants to. Amen. God will provide in his own way, in his own time. Amen. He's saying to the devil, I don't have to rush it. I said it last Sunday. A lot of the temptations of the devil, he'll take a natural desire, which is a natural thing and even needful, but he'll try to get it out of its restrictions, out of its bounds, and take it farther than it's supposed to go. Amen. Our Lord was saying, I'm willing to wait on God. If he wants to drop bread out of heaven, he can do that. Amen. I'll wait on the Father. He'll provide what is truly needed at the proper time. Then the third thing here, notice this. God said to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 3 that He brought them to that place to teach them. To teach them some things. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know. He's teaching them something. That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So He says He's teaching them to rely upon God. He's teaching them that God will provide what is needed. And so Christ is saying, I'm learning to follow God. I'm learning to follow my Father and not listen to the temptations of the devil. He's, again, I go back to Hebrews chapter number 5 where He says He's learning obedience. Amen. And it's as if He'd say to the devil, it'd be good for you to learn that too.
Right.
Amen. And I'll have to say, He's saying it to you and I. It'd be good for us to learn that too. That we can wait on God. We can trust God. Amen. So I saw Christ's first answer. Secondly, I want you to notice the usage of Scripture that He used. Not just the Scripture, but the fact that He used the Bible. I want to close on the thought that Christ used the Bible. Christ was the living Word.
Amen.
But He took the written Word and turned that against the devil. He knew how to correctly state the Word. He knew how to correctly use the written Word. Amen. Amen. He could have just spoke it, and it would have been the written Word. It would have been the Word of God if He'd have spoke it, but He didn't just speak it. He referred to the written Word. You know why? Because that's what you and I have.
Amen.
We have the written Word. Amen. We can't just speak it and make it Bible. I know some people believe, well, you said it, but that makes it Bible truth. It don't necessarily make it Bible truth if it ain't in the Bible. Amen. So Jesus used the written Word as you and I can use it. Amen. When He refers back, He refers back to the book of Moses, the writings of Moses, which, by the way, is some of the most contradicted scriptures in all of intelligentsia. The crowd that claim to be the learned people, they say, you know, those first five books of the Bible, you can't take them literal. Those first five books of the Bible, you can't really believe them to be true. Jesus stood against the devil and said, I believe every word of it to be true. He gave authenticity to Moses. He gave authenticity to the Word of God. Amen. As a Jewish child, all those Jewish children, religiously observant Jewish children, were taught the Word of God. His mother and Joseph would have taught him, would have told him, would have read to him, would have repeated to him those words of the law. Amen. Our Lord at this time is standing in the midst of a wilderness. Far as I know, He did not have a Bible tucked under His arm. Amen. He's in a wilderness. He doesn't have access to the temple, which is where the scrolls were kept at that time, by the way. Most of the time. I know some people did get portions of them and travel with them. We find that the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. But our Lord, it doesn't look like He had that, but He had it embedded in His mind. Amen. I want to use this as a challenge to you and I, especially here we are coming on New Year. People make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I want to challenge you to put the Bible in front of your face every day this coming year. Don't let a day go by. Amen. How about doing this? Saying, I'll tell you what I'll do. Jacob, you'll skip. Don't listen to this. Turn your ears off. Rest of you, they eat every day. Say, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I don't get to read my Bible, I just won't eat anything. If you plan on eating, you ought to eat out of the Word of God. Jeremiah said, well, Job said, but they talk about the Word being more necessary than my daily food. More necessary than my daily food. Our Lord went 40 days without a bite of food in His body. But He didn't go one day without the Word of God. He's got the Word of God in His mind. He's got the Word of God on His lips. He's got the Word of God using it against the devil. Amen. Every day of your life, you ought to have the Word of God in front of you. Every day of your life, you ought to feast from the Word of God. Amen. You ought to study to show thyself approved unto God. That's not just preachers.
Right.
Amen. You ought to read the Bible. You ought to study the Bible. Amen. You ought to listen to the Word of God when it's preached. Amen. You ought to get in the house of God. Be there. Amen. Amen. Well, Charles Spurgeon gave some advice on how we ought to handle our Bible most effectively. Here's what he said. He said, handle the Word with the deepest reverence. Amen. Handle it with the deepest reverence. This is not just another book. This is a holy book. Amen. Handle it with reverence. He said, always have it ready for use. Number two, he said, understand its meaning. Dig to see what it says. Number four, learn to appropriate the Scripture for yourself. And number five, he said, stand by the Scriptures whatever it may cost you. Stand by the Scriptures. Amen. The Word of God feeds the spirit of man. Bread feeds only the flesh. The devil likes to get people focused on feeding the flesh and get them away from feeding the spiritual part of man. Amen. Certainly you'd agree with me that the spirit is more important than the flesh. Amen. So we need the Word of God. We're to have a diligent diet of the Word of God, feed our spiritual life properly. Amen. Amen. I said that our Lord gave, by using these Scriptures, He gave authenticity to the Word of God. He also gave authority to the sacred Scriptures. He said that it had authority over man, even the perfect man, even the man that wasn't like every other man. He's saying the Word of God has authority over me. I'm going to let it regulate my life. Amen. There's a lot of people think the Bible's got authority over the children. But what about the parents?
Right, amen.
Amen. I know they make some movies and shows that they'll give you a rating. This is PG, parental guidance necessary. That means you're getting ready to enter into filth. And mom and daddy's supposed to take the kids by the hand and lead the kids down into the filth. That's what PG means, I guess. Is that right? They've got other, what is it now? They got the, I know they have the R, and there's another one. PG-13, is that right? Anyway, I read somewhere the other day that they said that one of those ratings, not even R, might have been PG-13, now is equivalent to what they used to rate X as. Now, I realize that years ago, they let some really bad things go without even regulating it at all. Amen. People talk about, well, we don't watch the new shows that are bad. We just watch the old shows that are good. What brought our society where it is today watching these new shows? Those old shows they watched. That's what brought them to this today. And I'm not just preaching against TV. I'm just giving you an idea about how people say, we're leading our children into this. We're being careful about this. And so they'll say, you know, children don't need to see some of these things. Well, then why do we need to see them? Amen. If the Word of God's good for the children, why ain't it good for mom and dad? Amen. Amen. Then there's some people, well, you know, the Bible, that ought to work on all the people, but what about the preacher? Jesus said, even the Son of God is submitting himself to the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus, the Bible said Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Entering into this temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was led up of the Spirit of God. He was Spirit-filled and He was Spirit-led. Here's where I'm going and I'm almost done. His use of the Scripture proved, His honor of the Scripture proved that He is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Because a man that dishonors the Scripture is not Spirit-filled and is not Spirit-led. Amen. People that don't show any regard to the Scriptures are not Spirit-filled and are not Spirit-led. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Went a different direction than I thought it was going to go this morning. But that's all right. Amen. I wonder if the Lord spoke to you this morning and you need to do like our Lord did. You need to get the Bible and put it in your heart that you can have it for a shield and you can have it for a sword. Because you're going to face the devil. You're going to face temptation. You're going to face trouble. You're going to face trial. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to need the Word of God. You're going to need it. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word. Thank You that Jesus showed us again and again and again, but right here in this text today, how important the Word of God is to every one of us. Doesn't matter how spiritual we think we are. Doesn't matter how strong we think we are. We need the Word of God. It is our only shield, and it is our only sword, and it is that which will defeat the devil. Help us, dear God, to study it, to learn it. Wouldn't hurt us to memorize it. Put it in our heart, but especially put it in front of us. Have it in our eyes. Have it in our ears. Have it down in our soul that we might glorify You, that we might stand against temptation when it comes. Lord, I pray You'd move this morning, bring some sinner to Christ, help the saints to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, do you need to come? Page number 39. You obey the Lord and do what He says do. If you need to come, you come and pray.